If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read first verses 5 down through 25. Then we're going to skip down to verse 39 and read 39 through 45. So Luke chapter 1, begin there in verse 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." I have to drop down to verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, thank you for this great blessing that you have given to us, your people. And Lord, we pray that you would use that word now to be an encouragement to your people, to call sinners to yourself, Lord, to call us to repentance, Lord, to help us understand your love, your great mercy towards sinners. Lord, how you loved us and called us to yourself. Lord, your word is the reflection, the truth of all that we know of that, and how you have graciously provided us this instruction, this testimony, your own word recorded, that we might hold it in our hands, that we might read it, that we might hear it. And Lord, we pray today that we would indeed hear your voice. Lord, that we would hear your voice, your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. 400 years. It had been 400 years since there had been any word from God. Since the days of Malachi the prophet, no word from the Lord. No prophet to stand and say to the people, "Thus says the Lord." The Old Testament closed with the words that Pastor Haley read you earlier, promising the coming of Elijah. The first words in 400 years after that were delivered by the angel Gabriel to an aged priest named Zechariah as he stood alone at the altar of incense in the holy place in the temple. Gabriel told Zechariah that he and his wife, who too was well up in years, were going to have a son, and that they were to give him the name John, and that he would go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. The exact words with which the Old Testament closed. The announcement of the birth of John the Baptist is a striking proof of the truth of the prophetic word. The new revelation of salvation that's about to come comes in the days of Herod the Great, a dark and miserable time for the true people of God, when the longing for Messiah's appearance was intensely felt by many of his faithful people. And it's in the temple. It's in the temple, which is so often the scene of the manifestation of the glory of the Lord, that these first words, the first rays of light, as it were, break into the darkness, albeit they're spoken privately to Zechariah the priest. And this word from God, the appearance of the coming Messiah, is greeted in Luke's gospel with hymns of joyful praise. Among them, we have hymns by Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary and Simeon and Anna and even the angels themselves. There's these wonderful songs in the beginning of Luke's gospel, all surrounding the coming of Messiah, the birth of Christ. And there's important Christology in each of these songs. These people are thoroughly persuaded that Messiah is to be the source of temporal and spiritual prosperity to Israel, the greatest blessing to the whole world, the highest gift of grace, and the supreme manifestation of the glory of God. All that is coming, and all that is reflected in these various songs. Now, we're looking at the Song of Elizabeth today, which is one of the shorter ones. But while these things are reflected, and Zechariah's own song later on in this, beyond what we had read, reflects these very things. But that song comes after the birth of his son. His first reflex, his first utterance, his first reflexive action is to question the heavenly messenger. How can I know this? How can this be true? I'm a very old man, and my wife is a very old woman. So how are we going to have a child? We're too old to have children. Well, Zechariah, know this. I'm Gabriel, he said. I stand in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, who sent me to tell you this good news. So you may not know that, but you can know this. You will not be able to speak until your son is born. Zechariah's lack of faith is met with a pretty severe reprimand, would you not say? His unbelief is emphatically punished. And the secret is kept for a little while longer until, verse 65, if you're looking there in Luke 1, after the birth of John, throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. But we must say that a well-instructed Jew like Zechariah probably shouldn't have raised such a question. Doesn't he remember Abraham and Sarah, or Isaac and Rebekah, the two we've looked at in the last 2 weeks? I know you remember. But this incident shows us something. It shows us how exceedingly sinful unbelief is in the sight of God. An angelic messenger comes with this message, this good news, and Zechariah doubts. You know, there's some great similarities between Zechariah and Abraham, and between Elizabeth and Sarah. Both couples were childless, and both were very old, and both were the recipients of incredible promises from God. And yet there's a failure, a weakness in faith in both couples. It's more pronounced in the woman in the Old Testament, and it's more pronounced in the man in the New Testament. But there's a failure to take God at his word. But doubt or not, God's word will be fulfilled. And in time, as we read, Elizabeth became pregnant. And for 5 months, she remained in seclusion, probably, I would guess, to avoid questions and gossip and such as that. But her words are filled with faith and insight. Notice what she says. The Lord has done this for me. Carrying on our theme for advent of these miraculous births, the Lord's one who has done this. He has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Now, it may be hard for modern Christians to understand or appreciate what a heavy trial childlessness was for these folks. But to a first century Jew, it would be a very heavy affliction. It was seen as a sign of God's judgment. And thus, Elizabeth rejoices that the Lord has taken away her disgrace and has promised that her son is going to be the forerunner of the Christ, the Messiah. People have been waiting and waiting for thousands of years for Messiah to come. And what an honor to a woman who was feeling so ashamed as her life was passing her by, and she was growing older and older, and she knew her own body. She knew she wasn't going to have any children. And now she's blessed with a child. And not only that, this child is the forerunner, the one who's going to prepare the way for Messiah. Her joy has to be overflowing for a number of reasons. Well, 6 months later, the angel Gabriel is sent again by God to Israel. and this time to a virgin named Mary, who's engaged to be married. And he gives her the most incredible news, that she will become pregnant. She's going to remain a virgin, but she's going to become pregnant and will give birth to the Son of God. And she's to give him the name Jesus. She is incredulous at the news, and she questions how such a thing could be. You're going to have to come back next week, and Dr. Haley will explain all that to you, no doubt. But as a tangible example, Gabriel tells her, you know your relative Elizabeth, although she's very old, she's pregnant. In fact, she's 6 months pregnant. And he seals that promise to her with the same assurance that Sarah heard centuries and centuries before. Is anything too hard for God? That is, nothing is impossible with God. So Mary hurried off to see Elizabeth. So now I would direct your attention to what we read down in verses 39 to 45, to the meeting between Mary, and Elizabeth, which is really the theme of our text, Elizabeth's song of love. So Mary hurries off to an unspecified town, in the hill country of Judah. And when she arrived, she entered the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth and greeted Elizabeth. And the greeting of Mary, and the great joy of Elizabeth, and the leaping of the baby in Elizabeth's womb are three things that happen almost simultaneously. At the sound of Mary's voice, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John, by some extraordinary movement, paid homage to the unborn Christ. And Elizabeth, at the same time, Scripture tells us, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognizes also the future mother of her Lord. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, she attributes the movement of the baby to joy at being in the presence of the Lord. And then Elizabeth cries out in a loud voice. She broke into song. It is poetry there in the Hebrew, what her response is. Because her words, her heart was filled with words of thanksgiving, words of love. See what she cried out there. Blessed are you among women. Might notice this is the first beatitude in the New Testament. We always turn to Matthew 5, but this comes before that. Blessed are you among women. And in a way, this serves as the ground of all the other beatitudes. Blessed are you. Now, it's common for interpreters when we get to Matthew 5 and Beatitudes to say, well, blessed means happy. Well, it does, but it means more than happy. Happy very often indicates how we feel. Blessed is what you are. You see, one is blessed when God's favor rests upon them. One is blessed when the Lord delights in them. Can you say that? Do you recognize that in yourself? That God's favor has rested upon you. He has called you to Himself. He has changed your heart. He's adopted you into His family. How blessed can you be if that's true of you? Can you say that? That was certainly true of Mary, especially in view of her faith and her obedience to God's announcement. She said, "Blessed are you among women." That is, among all the women on earth, you are the most blessed one. And blessed, too, is the child you will bear. I think this shows us clear that Mary is pregnant. The Greek says, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." There is a child within her. In addition, the unborn John's reaction is not just to the sound of Mary's voice. It's literally from being in the presence of the Lord. And notice, too, Elizabeth's words. She sees more in Mary than just a relative. More than a young girl who is pregnant and will likely be the target of whispers and gossip and accusations, like perhaps Elizabeth had experienced some of that herself. But notice what she says. She calls Mary the mother of my Lord. Mother of my Lord. "As soon as I heard your voice," she says, "the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Gradina said this statement concerns an operation of the Holy Spirit which caused Elizabeth's child to feel and experience and know that the mother of the Lord and within her, the Lord himself, was present here and now, and which caused the child to leap forward toward the Lord with a dance of joyful jubilation. That's a beautiful expression of what's happening here. Somehow, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we see John was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his birth, a very unique thing of babies that have been born. But he recognizes within Mary the presence of the Lord himself. This, in a very real sense, is the meeting of the old covenant and the new covenant. We have here within Elizabeth the last of the Old Testament prophets rejoicing in the presence of the one who will inaugurate the new covenant and be the fulfillment of all that the prophets revealed concerning him. So here we have this confluence of events, a long history of prophetic looking forward to the coming of Christ. And here he is. And here's his forerunner, both within their mother's womb. And somehow there's this recognition of that. That is incredible to consider. And so it is that the unborn prophet who is to go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah rejoices in the presence of the Lord. Well, Elizabeth's song continues with another beatitude. "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." How hard was it for Mary to believe what she heard from the angel Gabriel? How hard was it for her to believe the word of the Lord that Gabriel brought to her? There are many detractors. There are many naysayers. There are even entire denominations that reject the whole idea of the virgin birth. How hard is it for probably a teenage girl to believe this? But if there is one person who knows the true circumstances surrounding the conception and birth of Jesus, it's Mary. She knows exactly. She knows that she has not had sex with a man. And she knows there is a baby within her womb. And she knows what God has told her. We know it by faith, because God has revealed it to us here in His Word. And Elizabeth's song of love closes with this high praise of Mary's faith. Mary submitted herself to God's plan with every confidence that it would be just as God promised, in much the same way that her ancestor Abraham had done. Despite all that nature and science and the whole of human experience would say, Mary's belief rested in those words that have been repeated from Abraham to Zechariah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is impossible with God. And you have to ask yourself, do you know anything of this precious kind of faith? You should never rest until you know it by experience, knowing it, you will be filled with joy, like that unborn baby in Elizabeth's womb. And your mouth will be filled with a song of love, like Elizabeth, for what God has accomplished in creating within you a new creature, in giving you a new heart, that you might believe and be saved, where there was nothing but death and darkness and sin. God brought light. He brought life, new life. A new creature was created within you by the power of the Holy Spirit, where nothing existed before but death and sin. Should your mouth not be filled with a song of love and praise to God for what He's accomplished? Many do not see that. They think what I just said was utter foolishness. But is anything too hard for God? Is anything impossible for God to do? I pray you would have a clear eye to recognize and rightly judge the great works of God. May your heart rejoice in them, and may your love for Him loosen your tongue. Cast aside your inhibitions, that you might express this joy to a watching world. May your song join with Elizabeth, with countless saints who have sung here on earth the first notes, the very first notes of a song which will be eternally heard in heaven, the song of the redeemed, that multitude that no one can count around the throne of God and the Lamb. You see, the Lord's coming to gather His people. He's coming to gather His people to Him. And His second coming, like the first, has been clearly and openly announced. And it likewise has been doubted by so many. But like Elizabeth and Zechariah, who had been patiently waiting, there are His faithful ones today who are waiting, expectantly waiting for His coming. He has revealed what will be. And as the prophet Habakkuk wrote, the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And blessed will be all who have believed what the Lord has said will be accomplished. For know this, Beloved, know this. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his mighty power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your great love, which you have bestowed upon us. We thank you that your promises are sure. Lord, however ridiculous they might seem in the world's eyes, we know that you are true. Your word is true, and your power is so great that nothing is impossible with you. We have seen it in our own lives. We've experienced it within us. We know what we were and we know what we are in Christ. And Lord, we see many around us. We see a dark and dying world. And Lord, we are often discouraged. We're often rebuffed by many. Lord, our words go unheard and unheeded. But Lord, we know that it is in your power to change hearts, to change lives. And we would pray for so many that we know, so many that come in contact with us. We may not know. We know not what lies ahead tomorrow or this week. But Lord, as we have opportunity, Lord, may our mouths be filled with tremendous song that reflects your love for sinners like ourselves, and share that good news with others that Christ has come, that he has redeemed his people, that he is coming again to take us to be home with him, to live in your presence, to see the fulfillment of that great covenant promise that we will dwell with you and that you will be our God and we will be your people forever and ever. Lord, that is a song we're singing. We pray that we would cast aside our inhibitions and proclaim it far and wide as we should, as we have been instructed by our Master. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us as your church and your people. May it all be for your glory. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.